Well, good morning. Good to see everyone today. If you would, go ahead and turn your Bible to Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3. And we're going to be looking at that chapter in just a moment. We're going to finish up our study of the book of Habakkuk today. So in chapter 1, we see that Habakkuk modeled for us a hard faith. A faith that endured no matter what he was going through. And then in chapter 2, he models a how long faith. How long faith. It's a faith that continues to believe in the best of God, no matter how difficult life becomes. And then in chapter 3, he will model for us even so faith. Even so, faith. And we'll see what this faith is in just a moment. But before we do, let's be reminded of what the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. He says, "And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." So over in chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, has to be one of the greatest expressions of faith you'll find anywhere in the Bible. Verse 17, it's a passage that was just read, but we're going to read it again. "Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." Let me ask you this morning, what is your even so moment? Maybe for you, the cancer's come back. Maybe the pain just won't go away. Maybe a mate files for divorce. Maybe you're going to lose your independence. You're going to have to go into a nursing home. Or maybe there's been no rain on the fields for months and months and months. And you're thinking about a replant, but yet the finances aren't there to do this. What is your even so moment? You see, even though faith lives between how things are and how you're going to respond, notice how he responds in verse 19. "The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on the high hills." What confidence, what faith Habakkuk had in God. Though the whole world is crashing down upon him, he says, "Even though I will trust God." Is that you? Is that you? When everything comes crashing in upon you, you feel like your world is caving in. Are you like Habakkuk? "Even so, I will trust God in the Lord." All of us have even so moments, and we don't all handle them the same way. Maybe we have an even so moment, but it's not even so. For us, it's like, "God, why? Why did you allow this to happen? God, why did you take my independence? God, why am I going to a nursing home? God, why don't I have finances to pay my bills? Why? Why?" So how do we maintain this type of faith that Habakkuk's been modeling before us in chapter 1, chapter 2, and now in chapter 3? I think there are a couple of things that we can do that will sustain our faith, our trust, our confidence in God. Number one, even so, faith is sustained by worship. By worship. Look in chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shigionoth." Oh Lord, I've heard your speech and I was afraid. Oh Lord, revive your work in the midst of years. In the midst of years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. Verse 3, God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens and all the earth was full of his praise. His brightness was like light and he had rays flashing from his hand. And there's no power that was hidden. And so Habakkuk, in this moment of even so faith, what he does is he worships God. And I think he does it for good reason. I believe that Habakkuk was a worship leader in the temple. I really believe that. And the reason I believe that, look in chapter 3, the last part of verse 19. To the chief musician, with my stringed instruments. So this was to be sung in worship. And so I do believe he's a worship leader. And so now he's in the midst of praising God. And this is so big. It's so important. Praise is vital because when we praise, we're reminded of how big God is. We're reminded that he's an omnipotent God. That he's an omniscient God. That he's an omnipresent God. That he's a good God. That he's a loving God. That he's a merciful God. That he's a righteous God. That he's a just God. And when you worship God, all of this comes out. You see, his view of God in worship erased all of the questions that he had. Remember his questions? Why, Lord? How long, O Lord? In chapter 1, in chapter 2, how long, how long, how long? And now when you get to chapter 3, as he's worshiping this God and he sees this God for all that he is and all of his glory, and as he does so, all of the questions that he has about God are now brushed aside. They don't matter. They don't matter. Why don't they matter? Because God. God is bigger than his problems. God can take care of his problems. He knows this, and we're reminded of this when we come together and we worship God. We're reminded over and over and over again. David in Psalm 43, he does this a lot in the Psalms. This is just one example. In Psalm 43, verse 5, he writes, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me?" Notice that David has this unrest in his soul. Now listen to what he says. Here's his response. Hope in God. That's what Habakkuk's doing. That's what Habakkuk is doing. And then he says, "For I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." So what was David's response to a disquieted spirit being downcast? Worship God. That's the response. If you want to get out of yourself and get out of a pity party, the best way to do that is to drop to your knees and worship. And be reminded of how good God is and how wonderful he's been to you through the years. Even though you've not always been good to him, he's always been faithful and loving and good to you, and you know it. So worship is one of the ways that we can sustain this great faith that God wants us to have in him. So that means that we need to make times like this a priority. Some people just, "Oh, I'm not going to go today. I don't feel like it." I can understand if a person's sick. Okay, yeah, you may not feel like it, but if you just, "Oh, I think I'll just not come today," you're going to miss an opportunity to stand in the presence of God and worship him. And so don't miss these moments. They're vital, but it's not just here. We don't just worship God in this place. The worship of God takes place at home, in the car, driving to work, in the home, driving home from work, going on a vacation, coming back. It's anywhere you are. you are to worship God. So worship is one of the ways that we maintain this faith, this trust in God. But number two, this faith is maintained by remembering God's story. By remembering God's story. If you'll notice, in verses 5 through 15, he is going over the story of God throughout history. He talks about various judgments of God. Now, we don't know exactly what judgments these are referring to, but clearly as you read through here, these are judgments of God in history, and he's reminded of what God has done. You see, when you don't feel God in the present, remember what he has done in the past. That's vital. That's vital. If you don't feel him, life is hard. You're in one of those even so moments. Life is tough. And you just don't feel that God is near, God is present, even though he is, because he's omnipresent. You need to remember what he's done in the past. What he's done in the past is the story. Don't forget the story. You see, here he lays out numerous stories, right? But we have a very significant story that we never forget. That's why we're here today. What story are you talking about, Ray? The story of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Don't forget what God has done in the past. If you ever doubt his love, look back to the cross. That's all you have to do. If you just doubt that God's not for you, just be reminded that Jesus hung on a cross. And 3 days later, he burst forth from the tomb. He rose from the dead. You see, even death must do what my God tells it to do. If God tells death, let go of my people, death will let go of God's people. It has no choice. It has to let go, and God's people will rise in resurrection. We have a great story to look back on, a great story to remind us of this God's mercy and his grace and his love for me. You can take this very he did this for me. If I had been the only person in the world, he still would have sent Jesus Christ to die. Because he loves humanity that's been created in his image. God doesn't give up on us. He knows faith can be tough. But we see Habakkuk modeling the kind of faith that God wants his people to have. Now, if you're struggling this morning, these two things, I believe, will sustain your faith if you will practice them. Worship and remember what he's done. That will remind you. And by the way, when you look back at all that God has done, that should tell you what your future holds. Because whatever God has done in the past, he will do in the future. That's the point. In other words, we have confidence in this God. We've seen him work. We've seen him act. He's come through again and again and again. And I know he's going to come through again. Because our God is a God who loves us and cares for us. And this morning, I want to extend an invitation. But as I do, I want you to see something. Back in chapter 1, verse 5, you have this statement. He says, "Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded. For I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, even though it were told you." What is the work that he's referring to here? Well, verse 6 tells us very clearly. God is raising up the Chaldeans. If you told people God was doing that, they wouldn't believe it. Because there's no way God would use the Chaldeans. And that was Habakkuk's problem, if you'll remember. But Paul uses this over in the book of Acts, and I want you to see this in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Turn there. Two of my favorite verses, verses 38 and 39. Paul says, therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Paul was preaching and saying that God can forgive everyone of everything. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you have done. He makes it clear. He's forgiving sins in Jesus Christ. And then in verse 41, you have these words. Behold, you despisers, marvel and perish. For I will work a work in your days, a work which you will by no means believe, though it were declared to you. So what is the work that Paul is talking about using Habakkuk's words? It's the words that this God is forgiving sins in Jesus Christ. Everyone can be forgiven of everything. That's the good news that some people just don't believe. Because it's too good to believe. And so this morning, if you've never responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to have your sins forgiven, we hope and pray that you will come this morning and do just that. If you're struggling in your faith and you need help and you need prayer, please come. Please come. This is another way that we can get help when our faith is really weak. And our faith, the way it does, it can be weak, and then it can go up a little bit really strong, and then tough times can cause it to kind of go down a little bit, right? And so faith kind of does like this. We wish it just did this, but it doesn't. It's kind of it goes up, but there's valleys in between. That's the way faith works. There's ups and there's downs. We don't have that consistent, I believe no matter what, faith all the time. When life gets hard, we do struggle. We do ask God why. And that's okay. He can handle that. He's big enough to answer our question as to why. And He can do that. And so this morning, if you need to avail yourself of the amazing grace of God, that God has forgiven sins in Jesus Christ, or you need help, please come as we stand together and sing.